Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening to proclaim...
Always good.
To proclaim God's Word, I was going to say.
Yeah, amen. And I've been thinking all week about discipleship, as we've been talking about discipleship for a long time.
It's gone by really fast.
And yes. And we pretty much covered that passage from Mark 8. Mm-hmm. But let's go to Luke chapter 14 and see what Dr. Luke says Jesus said about this.
Dr. Luke. Where shall we read from? Luke 14, 25?
25, yeah. Okay. 33, I think.
Great crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marches into battle? Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple.
Mm. Wow. Difficult passage.
Yeah.
And he wants to make sure here that these people that these people understand what it's going to be, what it's going to cost, what it's going to entail to follow him. There's a big crowd moving with him. Like, hey, look, there he is. Let's go see what he's going to do. Maybe he'll do another miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll multiply some food. Maybe he'll do something awesome, and we want to make sure we can check it out.
Yeah.
And then when we're done here, maybe he's going to, you know, go to a prayer meeting in Jericho, and we can go over there. And then after that, maybe he's going to go to a home group in Hebron, and maybe we could follow him over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he may be, you know, we don't want to miss out on it. He says, okay, you want to follow me? Let me tell you a few things. Now, he's talking to a big crowd. You know, this is, I think, I don't know how many weeks ago I made a comment about Jesus doesn't just want fans. He doesn't want people to say, wow, he's really mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
Wow, he's really awesome. Wow, it was neat how he did that. He doesn't just want fans. You know, he doesn't want groupies following him around.
Mm-hmm.
He wants disciples.
Yeah.
And this is a big group. Oh, you know, and they're probably saying, hey, man, you know, we're going to follow him. We're going to see what's going to happen here. We're going to follow him. So then he turns around and starts talking to them. And they were all probably there for different reasons. And this happens, too, even in our lives. You know, different churches you go to, different prayer groups you go to, different prayer, you know, whatever meetings you're going to, whatever conferences you're going to. There's all kinds of different people there. They're there for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... You know, and you've had this experience, and I have this experience where, you know, you start talking to people, and you see, like, some people kind of zoning out, and some people listening intently to everything that you're saying.
Right.
And some people yawn a couple of times, and they're sound asleep. And some people are looking at their watch going, how much longer is this going to be? And, you know, you got all kind of different people in this place. But now he's telling them, if you really want to follow me, here's the deal. You have to be willing to leave, we call it your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to leave what's familiar to you, what's normal to you, what's comfortable to you. Even things that are near and dear to your heart has to be, you have to be willing to sacrifice that if you're going to follow me. Now, he's using, you know, speech called hyperbole, which was very common in Hebrew literature. He doesn't want you to hate your father and your mother. You know, Jesus doesn't come and say, listen, you got to hate your father and your mother or else forget it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want you to hate them, obviously.
Right.
But what he's trying to say to these people is, I'm more important than your father and your mother. You may have to walk away from your father and mother if you're going to come after me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you're going to hate them. I'm more important than they are.
Yeah, Jesus has to have the first place.
Yes.
And, you know, God has to be in the first place of importance.
Yeah.
Of dedication.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily abandon your family.
Right.
You're never going to talk to them again.
Right.
But it does mean that they're going to be in the second place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you know, that's the key with discipleship is that, or one of the keys, is how do we prioritize our things of importance in our life? Is God right there below job title, bank account,
mm-hmm.
family,
yeah.
sport team.
My weekend activities.
Yeah, weekend activities, my favorite sport teams.
Yeah.
And then...
My country club.
My country club. And then... there's my faith life.
Yes.
Is it down the list?
I work it in on the weekend.
Yeah. Or is it the very top of the priority?
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, I get up and pray and thank God for this day. Yeah. And I offer him everything that I have for his glory.
Yeah.
You know, God wants the first fruits. You mentioned Cain and Abel. God still wants the first fruits mm-hmm. of our day,
mm-hmm.
of all that we are.
Yes.
That has not changed.
Right. Never been rescinded.
There's never been, you know, there's never been that Disciple 2.0 that came
yeah.
out. You know, we love the updates. We love
right.
the updates. But there's never been the Disciple 2.0. So the place that God wants to hold in our heart is the very best place.
Yeah.
But he wants us to give him that place out of love.
Yes.
Out of total abandonment and surrender.
Yes.
Not coerced. Not forced, because anything
yeah.
less than that, or anything else, isn't love at all.
Faith and trust.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And, you know, you can look through, and we only have, you can read the scripture and find out what people did, and you can read through Christian history and find out what people did in terms of leaving their life and going to the mission field or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we talked a little bit about Abraham. You know, he left his country because God said, okay, let's go. I'm going to show you someplace else. Moses left Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
God says, okay, you're going to leave Egypt. You're going to leave this Midianite wilderness that you're in with these sheep. We're going to the promised land.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses doesn't say, hey, listen, I kind of gotten used to being out here with the sheep. And, you know, I'm married now and I have this son and a couple sons and I just want to like hang out here because I'm already 80 years old. So I just want to get my Medicare and just hang out. No, he follows what God wants him to do. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, left the temple. He was at the temple from the time of his bar mitzvah till his conversion. He left the temple to go all through the known Mediterranean world to preach the gospel. And those are the people that we know. There's thousands and tens of thousands of missionaries and evangelists who have left, you know, their comfortable home in London and gone to China to be missionaries, or their comfortable home in Topeka, Kansas, to go be a missionary in Southeast Asia or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are examples of people that they say, well, I'm a disciple now, and my life is not just about me anymore. And, well, we see the example, too, and most people don't know a lot about Messianic Jews who are Jewish believers that believe in Jesus, but everybody knows Jews for Jesus because they're kind of famous. But, you know, these are young people that leave their family, leave their culture, leave all their stuff behind that they've grown up with because now they've met Jesus as their Messiah,
mm-hmm.
and they devote the rest of their life to preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're disowned by their family. Nobody wants to see them anymore. They lose all their friends. but they do it.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I'm more important than all of that stuff because, you know, I don't want you to hate your father and your mother. I'm just using hyperbolic speech here. Well, he doesn't say that, but that's what he means. He says, but you have to love these people and these things less than you love me. He has the preference. You know, your family, you know, you become a disciple, your family may disown you. And then you have a choice to make. You can say, gee, I don't want my parents to disown me. I don't want my brothers and sisters to disown me. So therefore, let's forget about this Jesus thing. And I'm just going to go back home and tell them I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Or you can say, well, I'm a disciple now. I'm following Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I feel bad that my family thinks I'm crazy or I betrayed them or whatever. But I got to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he's getting at. Whether your family disowns you or not, it's better to lose their favor than his favor.
Yeah.
It's better for them to deny you than for him to deny you. And
true.
As we talked about last week, even if you don't necessarily see the goal where you're heading, you know that there is a goal.
Yeah.
And you know that it's going to be a good goal.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times when people are called to discipleship, when they have that encounter with Jesus, you know, as you were saying, a person of the Jewish faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
He fulfilled the law in that act of love on the cross. But as you said, if somebody who is Jewish follows the Messiah, follows Jesus, they're most likely going to be disowned by their family.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunate as that is, but if a person comes to faith in Christ, they might lose friends.
Mm-hmm.
They might lose part of their family because there's going to be, you know, when Jesus says, you know, there's going to be the household's going to be divided, father against son, mother against mm-hmm. daughter,
yeah,
even children against parents.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the spiritual reality that some people believe that he is the Messiah,
yes,
and then some people don't.
Yes.
And that is going to be a division within the household.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what your background is, if you answer the call to follow Jesus, you may lose people that you see as close to you. Mm-hmm. You may lose someone that you love very much. They might not understand why you're going this. Why are you doing this? Well, I got the Lord's placed this call in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to follow him. I believe. Mm-hmm. I've encountered the risen Christ. Once you encounter the risen Christ, you can't deny it.
That's right.
And if you still say, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it doesn't mean that God gave up on you. You know, but he is going to pursue you.
Yes.
If he chooses you, he pursues you.
That's right. And he's going to equip you.
Relentlessly.
And this is why I love testimonies. I love hearing people's testimonies.
Yeah.
Especially if it's somebody that you knew 20 years ago, and you say, wow, he wasn't like this 20 years ago. Then they tell you this amazing story of how they came to know Jesus, and now this is their life.
Yeah.
You say, whoa. Now, that's more important than, you know, your friends you used to go drinking with now say, what a dope. You know, we don't want to hang out with you anymore. You know, now if your family disowns you, that's a little more painful than your old drinking friends disowned you. But
yeah,
but the question is, you know, he basically, you know, we talked about picking up your cross and following. And when you think about it, it doesn't necessarily even have to be for execution. I mean, you may in fact be martyred. I mean, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unlikely in, you know, Independence or Youngstown. But it is a possibility that you go to some mission field somewhere and somebody may kill you because you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's possible. But it's also a matter of the change that's going to occur in your day-to-day life. The change that's going to occur in relationship to your family and to your friends. You know, you may have people making fun of you. You may have people just laughing at you saying, I can't believe you really believe that. I can't believe you would really do this. Why in the world would you think that? Why in the world would you believe that? But he says you have to be ready for that,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to encounter that.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people nowadays, and I don't want to speak for, you know, I don't want to say most people, but a lot of people now think discipleship is, oh, yeah, I joined a church. You know, I went down and signed up. You know, it seemed like a nice place. And I go on Sunday mornings, usually at 10. Sometimes I go at 12.
Like the pastor said, if you want a teacher, you have to be a member.
Stuff like that. But if, So, you know, membership at a church doesn't equal discipleship.
No, it doesn't. Well,
I mean, you should be a member of a church. Don't get me wrong.
Right, right. Yeah, I think, I understand what you're saying. The belonging to a parish, belonging to a church, belonging to a congregation is not a bad thing.
Right.
Because we're all called to, you know, you do need a place to worship at. You can, you know, some people say, well, I just worship God in, you know, wherever I'm at. Well, that's true. Mm. But scripture points out very accurately that they gathered
mm-hmm.
and broke bread.
Yes.
They ate meals together. They congregated together.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's people that go, well, Jesus didn't come to start a church. He didn't come to start a congregation. And it's like, you know what? Okay, enough with the anti-church thing.
Yeah.
He didn't come to start a new religion. You can have all those debates you want.
Yeah. Was this Constantine's fault?
Well, yeah, he gets a brunt of a brunt of it. But when you worship, there is individual worship, but there's also communal worship.
Yes.
And there's a different aspect of communal worship that is necessary in the body of Christ because you're coming together as a body.
Yes.
Not as an individual. See, when there's individualism, the body cannot flourish.
Yes.
When there's individualism, I am the most important thing.
Right.
But when there is a community, as the scriptures tell us, put the needs of others see the needs of others as more important than your own.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that if you're alone worshiping with God and you're the only one there?
Yeah.
Well, Lord, there's nobody else here, so I'm the most important. Bless
me. Exactly.
It's just not.
It's self-idolatry. Look at me. I can just be here and worship.
Yeah. I mean, certainly there's personal prayer times, those types of things, but we're not talking about that, but the aspect of communal worship, as was prescribed even in the Old Testament, in the temple.
That's right.
It's all, you know, Jesus went and read in the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just go out and worship, you know, he just didn't go out into the Mount of Olives and pray to God alone. He went to the synagogue. Mm-hmm. He read.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this scripture passage is fulfilled mm-hmm. in your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a communal aspect to worship and to our relationship with God that is important mm-hmm. in our faith formation and in being a disciple, because we then look past ourselves, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
and see the needs of our brother or sister sitting next to us, or maybe sitting across the church, and, you know, maybe they have a need greater than our own.
Mm-hmm.
And we come out of ourselves and go, you know what? I'm really being really selfish with what I'm concerned with and what's going on in my life. And that person is dealing with something much more
mm-hmm.
difficult.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and help them. I'm going to go and talk to them and pray with them.
Yes.
That's what lifts up the body.
That's right.
And then the individualism goes away, and it's no longer, well, I'm a believer from this sect, I'm a believer from that sect. You're a member of the household of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're anointed priest, prophet, and king mm-hmm. as part of your baptism.
Mm-hmm.
You are the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
not a subset of a body.
That's right. And Paul talks about, he compares it to parts of the human body. Says, well, if the ear says, well, I'm the most important, or if the eye says, I'm the most important, or if the feet says, I'm the most important, then how does the rest of the body work?
Yeah.
And the writer to the Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of the brethren.
Yeah.
Because you can see so many Old Testament passages where all the angels are worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
You see in the book of Revelation, angels and saints are all worshiping as a body.
Yeah.
There isn't like one angel over there worshiping and one saint over there worshiping and another angel over there worshiping and an angel saying, I don't feel like going over there today, so I'm just going to stay over here. And everybody worships in community.
Yeah. I mean, it's an act of pride when you know, Satan did this.
Yeah.
It's an act of pride. I'm no longer going to worship you because I'm better than you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take my dominions with me.
Yes.
We're out of here.
Yes.
We physically, humanly, we do the same thing.
I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven.
Right. I mean, you know, as you said, you know, when Paul talks about, he likens it to parts of the body. It'd be pretty weird if your ear said, you know what, I'm done with you, Phil. I'm going to go on my own.
Yeah.
And you just saw your ear walking off by itself. It doesn't work like that way.
Right.
But yet individually, and we live in a very hyphenated society.
Yes.
And that part of the culture is crept into the church.
Yes.
Tremendously.
And he makes the same point about the gifts.
Yeah.
You know, if you walk around saying, oh, my gift is this, and, oh, my gift is this, and my gift is this, and oh, my gift is that. No, your gifts are for building up of the body,
mm-hmm.
for building up of the church. Your gifts aren't just given to you so you can have fun with them.
Yeah, or build your own ministry.
It's for the building up of the body.
Right.
And these are things that, I love Paul Wilbur to death. But
you do?
And I normally get... He's the only one I give a pass on this to.
Uh-oh, preferential
treatment. But, you know, when you see a ministry that's named after a person, you know, Joe Blow Ministries, that always makes me nervous.
Because
then it means it's about Joe Blow. So if something happens when Joe Blow has a fall, a moral fall, or he gets physically sick, or he falls over dead, or something else happens that he can't minister anymore... Mm-hmm. Then you have, you know, Fred Smith taking over Joe Blow Ministries.
Yeah.
And it all gets weird because it isn't about us. And I know there's Paul Wilbur Ministries, and I've had to come to grips with that. But normally, you know, it's in the fact that it's not about us, it's about our discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be putting ourselves to the point where we say, hey, here it is. This is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got this big church, and I started out with 14 people, and now I got 3,000, and ha, ha, ha. Isn't this awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it is awesome if the Lord built it up.
Right.
But if you take credit for it, that's not discipleship.
Yeah. You have musicians that have, I mean, musicians are known by their name.
Well, sure.
You know, so it's and they minister in the church to the body,
yeah.
and Paul ministers to the body.
Yeah. Yes, he gets a pass.
Yeah, the Church of Paul.
The church.
Don't get any ideas.
But you bring up the point too that's good. In our time, our self-importance has really become a big factor in everything.
Mm-hmm.
That person can't. What does that guy know? You know, he's been a believer for a year and a half. What could he possibly know?
Yeah.
You know, that guy over there, oh, come on. His music's not nearly as good as that guy's music. You know, what's he trying to pull here? That kind of stuff goes on. And we all do it, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I've had somebody tell me, well, your name, we've been here long before your name was ever known.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, wow. Well, there's being open to what God's doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And so when you take yourself out of the equation and realize that as a disciple, you're walking down a road, that's the important thing to keep in mind, that you're going toward something, and you may not even know what it is, but you may get called to a place to do music and you don't even know where it's leading,
mm-hmm.
but you feel the Lord say, go and do it.
Yeah.
So, I can't believe, speaking of music,
yeah,
I can't believe another show's over. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would abandon yourself to the call of the gospel and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to follow him with all your mind, all your heart, and all your strength. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.